Everybody good out there?
All right.
Hey, well, if you are walking up, we had said we were going to take the Lord's Supper today in just a bit as a family. You should have a cup of juice and the bread if you want to partake in that. If not, Bradley, wave to everybody. There's Bradley. He's got the box there. You can catch up with him. Thank you very much for that. So I want to just start and tell you why. One, it's been way too long since we have taken the Lord's Supper together, and my apologies for that. But hopefully every time that we gather and we share a meal, that is in a sense taking the Lord's Supper together. We remember each week as we gather together. Let me see just real quick, who was here last week? There was two people, three, four. Can I have five, six? All right, now we go. I feel like I was at an auction there for a second. All right, so a lot of you were here last week. If you weren't, I just want to recap why I feel like God led me to take the Lord's Supper together as a family this week. As if there is any other reason than just remembering what He did for us, that's a great place to start. But there was something a little deeper. If you were here last week, we talked about unity. Said, man, if there was any time that our world needed to come together, that now would be the time. That there is so much disunity where you see, and we even said that unfortunately, the church is not immune to that, right? We see it even in the church that there is disunity. And so what better place to start than to start in His Spirit, that we come together as one, the family of God, recognizing that Jesus, You are the head of this church. We are simply Your body, Your hands and feet. And we come together in unity, not so much on the things that we disagree on, but the things that we do agree on. And we agree in this place that Jesus is Lord and Savior of all, right? Amen? And so I want to just kind of recap from last week the unity that we talked about. It wasn't long after I left this place on Sunday and into the first of last week. Or this week that I just, I could not help but continue to think of the theme of unity, and that's where I felt led to come together to take communion. So we'll take this together in just a second. I'll lead you through that. And before we do, I just want to prayerfully consider the unity that we discussed last week. So if you'll allow me, I'm going to just read back the first seven verses in Ephesians chapter 4. And kind of share why God, I believe, led us to this place. So Paul starts out in chapter 4, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I want to be honest, this is the verse that really stuck out to me this week. Not just wanting to maintain, not just that we would be unified, but listen to what he says, that we would be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then listen to all the ones that he mentions here. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. There are a lot of ones listed in there that we shouldn't be separate. We should come together. Amen. Anybody for leading the way in unity, let it start with me, right? Let it start with us. Anybody in with me on that? That if the world would just see, and we even went back into John 17 and saw that that was Jesus' prayer, that we would be one so that the world would know that He was sent by the Father. There's a reason behind it, that if we, from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different beliefs, come together in Jesus' name, that we could be one. So as we consider this and consider the Lord's Supper, I want to do just a quick thought on what that means. I believe that when we take the Lord's Supper, that this is a family meal, all right? And here's what I mean by that. You do not have to be a member of the church at Southside. In all reality, we don't have membership of the church at Southside. If you're a believer, then you are welcome in this fellowship, right? You believe in Jesus' name. But what I mean by family meal is that this is meant for believers. Now, I'd encourage you this, if you don't know him, that you would meet him today, that today would be the day of salvation, and then you take this meal with us, all right? But this is a family meal for those who believe in Jesus' name. Now, and I want to tell you this, you can go to different churches, different denominations. In fact, I encourage the people on our live feed, I said, if you're at home this morning, go ahead and grab your elements, and we'll take this Lord's Supper together. You can take that with us with the gift of technology. Now, some at home, it may be bread and wine. I've already had one person this morning say, man, why didn't we have real wine? Right? I get it. That's okay. But I want to tell you this. The first time I ever led a Lord's Supper, it was a really cool experience. I was in India, 13,000 feet in the Himalayan mountains. And we had three tongues that prayed, but really, if you want to break it down, there were four, because you had an Indian who prayed in his native tongue, a Korean who prayed in their native tongue, and then you had two people in English, but we diverged a little bit. We had a Yankee that prayed, and then where I came in the picture, a little Southern English, all right? But what it taught me was this. It was a beautiful representation of the family of God, right? You've got a couple of people praying that, I'll be honest, I had no idea what they're praying other than when they came to the name Jesus. That kind of translated, right? But we came together, and it's this one body that we talk about in Ephesians, and one God overall, no matter what language you speak, but that there is this one unity, this togetherness. And what better way than to come together as a family of God to take a family meal? So here's what I want to encourage you, regardless of the elements or the ingredients that you use this morning. When we did that in India, it was kind of impromptu. We didn't have like a nifty little cup. If you've never used one of these, sometimes they're difficult. But you've got the top layer here where you've got the bread, and then you open, you have the cup. Over there, we use Gatorade and cookies. They called cracker cookies. It just blew my mind. But we had cookies and we had Gatorade. And it was one of the most holy Lord's Suppers that I've ever taken. So here's the deal. The elements don't matter. Here's what matters. The remembrance matters. Because Jesus, when he institutes this, says, if you'll just remember me, every time that you take this together, just remember me. So it's about remembrance. So here's what I want to do. Before I pray in the scripture and lead us through this, we'll be short together in our time because I want us just to focus on this morning. But I want us just to kind of pray and get in a mindset already of remembrance. If you're with me this morning, I want you to look at me up this way. And if you are thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ, just raise your hand with a little praise this morning. Amen. Let's pray together and be thankful in this remembrance. So Jesus, we don't take this meal lightly. It is more than just crackers and juice. It is a remembrance of your sacrifice, your grace, your mercy, and compassion that, by the way, did not stop at the cross. Your mercies are new every single day. Willing to greet us with mercy when we fail, when we miss the mark, when we sin. Maybe even when the world looks down at us and calls us all kind of things or curses against us or says we don't measure up, we thank you, Jesus, that you have the final say. Your cross has the final say over our lives, that if we would just put our faith in you, believe in you, no matter what we've done or doing or will do, your grace, your cross is enough. Anybody with me on that this morning, say amen to that. Thank you, Jesus. We remember this morning. We come with a remembrance this morning, a thankful heart. Father, in a world that just every time we turn on the TV, there is bad news that abounds, we thank you for the good news that is in our heart, is in our mind, and is in our heart's attention, our mind's focus this morning. We remember your sacrifice, your grace, and your mercy, and we humbly take this meal together this morning just as remembrance of what you've done for us. Jesus, we thank you, and Jesus, we need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So if you're at home watching along, grab your elements. We'll look at the scripture. But before we do, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is where I led the first Lord's Supper this morning. I had a brother that had to leave early this morning. I said this, I do think this will be the first time I've taken the Lord's Supper twice in one day. He had to leave and wanted to take of the supper, so we took it together over here on the side privately. But I just want to read, before we get into this scripture, I found it unique that going back to this place, we've talked about that unity is the key. Now listen to Paul, he's writing the church at Corinth, and he's talking about something where they are not together, that there is disunity. And then immediately after he talks about that, he goes into, you should take the Lord's Supper together. So I found that kind of neat that we're on this theme of unity. Paul addresses some disunity and says, this is the way you should take the Lord's Supper. So I want to read just that part real quick. Here's what he says to them. He says, but in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. So he's talking to the people and he says, man, there's divisions among you. You need to come together and sit at the Lord's table and take the Lord's Supper together. Come back to the remembrance of him is what he's saying. So I want to tell you this, where there's disunity, I believe coming together in Jesus' name can bring great unity and great healing. So I want to read together, and as I do, we'll stop at each place that we recognize the body that was broken and the blood that was shed and take this meal together. So you can go ahead and kind of peel your top back here and get your bread out. Get ready for that. So this is Paul writing the church, and here's what he says after talking disunity and telling them you need to come together. Here's what he says. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Anybody grateful for the body that was broken this morning? We do this in remembrance of you, Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice and your grace and your mercy. Aren't you glad that his grace and his mercy didn't just stop there, though? Amen? We're thankful for that. In fact, I want to do this. Just stop where you're at just a second. I know we've got more things to do, and we'll take the cup. I want us just to pause and bow your heads for just a moment. Think about your Savior's body that was broken for you. Why would he do such a thing? He loves you deeply. You cannot be loved any more than someone that is willing to lay down their life for you. Jesus, we thank you so much for your sacrifice, for your body that was broken, beaten, mocked. Why would you do that? Why would you then lay down your body and say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do? You weren't just talking about the Romans that day. You were talking about me. You were talking about us. And so, Jesus, we thank you. Paul continues on. If you'll take your cup, you can go ahead and peel that back. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So I ask you to bow your heads in the same manner of just thankfulness and remembrance. Jesus, we are thankful for your blood that was shed. We thank you for your grace that is there. for your forgiveness. That us, as guilty sinners who your word tells us our wages has earned nothing but death, that in your blood and your forgiveness there is life and life abundantly. And so we thank you for that, Jesus. It's in your name we pray that. Amen. I want to read you the last verse here this morning and then I'll close us in prayer. Paul says this, that these disunified Corinthians, that as he comes to them and says, you know what, you need to sit together in fellowship and in one accord and take the supper together. Get back to remembering why you are together in the first place. Listen to what he closes this statement with. As we've done this morning, we've eaten the bread, we've drank of the cup. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so what we've done this morning is a proclamation. We remember and we proclaim the Lord's death until he chooses to return. Isn't that a beautiful thing this morning? So we thank you, Jesus. I want to lead us in prayer. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Just the ability to think about all of the oneness that we talked about in Scripture last week, and then to follow that up with one of the most intimate things we as a body can do together. One of your institutions, Jesus, so important to you that before you died, you got together with your disciples and left something for them to say, hey, remember what's about to happen. And as you do this in the future, as you sit together and you break the bread and you pour the cup, that you remember my body that is broken. Even the disciples in that moment didn't fully understand. But I can imagine just after, hey, guys, do you remember what he taught us that night when he washed our feet? When he just still was serving to the very last. And then he had the meal with us where he broke the bread. He poured the wine and he said, as often as you do this, just remember me. And so we do that this morning. In the busyness of life, the chaos of life that is going on right now, the disunity we see all around, a little family called the church at Southside gathers together this morning. We take the bread. We take of the cup, and we do this coming together in unity in you, Jesus. Every other difference aside, we come together in what matters most. We unite in Jesus, and we remember. Jesus, we remember your body that was broken and your blood that was shed. We are super thankful this morning. If you're thankful this morning, just say amen. Just raise your hand. Just thank him this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. We love you. It is your name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much. We'll get started here in just a few calling out names. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, your blood, and your body that was broken. Amen. Thank you, guys.